This is exactly right.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgareth.
We are doing this from our houses because we're responsible. Although, I did get some new masks.
Look at that,
this
Chris.
This one's reversible.
I had that shirt in eighth grade.
Yeah, there's a lot of plaid.
Is it felt kind of, or flannel? Fuzzy?
Yeah, it's
warm?
Just the two layers. This one's more of a cotton with some flannel.
Okay.
But then this one, this guy, I ordered this one. It's got little pockets for carbon filters.
Looks like really boys' underpants nice. For all the listeners. Boys' underpants mask.
Yeah, yeah. They look exactly like fancy underpants. It's good to open a podcast with a show and tell
yes.
of visual objects.
We are a visuals-based, listening-only podcast. It creates...
I don't know why I thought, just because I'm looking at you, which isn't our standard means of recording, that I could just start showing things.
Should
and
we record...
a poor podcast choice.
Should we record like this, where we both turn to our left so that we're
I
like in a car?
I thought about it. I really... It, oddly, I'm not even kidding, feels more comfortable with me doing this.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to listen.
Oh, I like how your hand is up
I'm driving.
An invisible steering wheel.
I'm my one hand is at 11, but my other hand's holding a Diet Coke, so I can't put it at 2 right now. But normally
because
it should
of
be.
the product placement.
Yeah. Well, I've been paid $3 million to hold this can of Coke during this podcast.
You keep getting side sponsors for millions.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to cut you in for $70.
No, I have my own. I've been blank spray bottles. All right.
Chris just picked
sponsor.
Up the closest object.
All right. I don't have any side sponsors. I have been doing cameos.
Yes. Tell us about it. But first.
It is fun.
Wait. Before you go into that story, will you just back up a little bit? So
sure.
that we can get a visual on the hair and a hair check-in, because it's been 2 weeks and...
It is. I've tamed it a bit because I have a hair mask, but it is, it's getting out of control.
It's, guys, listening at home, it looks like Chris has piled up some, it looks like you shaved a black sheep. and then took the shavings and glued them to your head in a pile.
Yeah. It really looks like, yes, my friend was really proud of his hair and he thought he'd sell it to a wig maker. And he put it in a Ziploc bag and kept it for years. And then one day we were all drinking at his house and he pulled it out and we put his hair on our heads. And it was red, curly hair, just like this. But you could mold it. And we all were wearing, we couldn't stop laughing, and we all had bright red curly hair.
Yes.
And beards, like you can just stick it to your face.
Wherever you want. You're like that magnetic guy where you can drag the magnet things all over and give him hair and a mustache, whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. It's really a form of sculpting, but it's out of control, but why not? I was going to shave it the other day, just bald, because why not that too?
No, wait, but can you pull it out to show us how the biggest it could be?
Oh, I mean...
Yeah, yeah, like, if I pick it out. Do you have a pick there or some kind of a...
I don't have a pick. The only pick I have is in my bag of plastic, and it was dissected from a fish, if you remember.
This is Chris. It looks like he's wearing a wig. It looks like you're at a party wearing a wig.
This is why the wig bit worked so well when I first started comedy.
Yes.
Because when I went to pull this one off, it was my real hair.
God, that's enjoyable.
Well, thanks.
Really nice.
It's just getting warm, and I kind of want to shave it off. Either that or get insulation in my apartment. I think I'm just going to, because they don't want to spend any money, the people that run my place. So I think I'll get some guy to, they shoot the Pink Panther up there with like a blower.
You're going to insulate your apartment?
I'm already hot.
Yeah.
And we haven't even seen the peak of summer heat.
Right. But what's wrong with getting kind of a freestanding air conditioner type of thing?
So, I have one. Okay. It's right. I'm looking at it. It was a nice one. It rated well. I have it at 70 degrees and it will air condition my house up to my nose.
Yep.
Like I was doing chin-ups the other day with the air con. I did five of them.
But hey, every that's time five more than up, zero.
Yeah, I'm baby steps, yeah. Baby chin-ups.
Yes.
They were little baby. But it's cool down here. Lift up, total extreme heat. The top, hot air, of course, does rise. We know that.
Yes.
It is very drastic in my apartment.
Okay.
And it's like I'm a little worried about getting insulation shot up there.
Yeah, I think you should be.
Why do you think I should be?
Because I think it would be, do you have individual attics? Like when you're saying shot up there, what do you mean?
Yeah, there's like a little gable in my roof that is a tiny window and you can just stick a hose up there and maybe it would feed into other parts of the building, but mine is kind of a freestanding part.
Oh.
Like my whole building is shaped like a U or a shoe horse, except square angles. So not a shoe horse. But
also, what's a shoe horse?
A shoe horse.
A horseshoe?
A horseshoe. Oh my God. That's the heat.
That's the heat
talking.
That's
the heat of this room.
That's the hair talking.
Yeah, it makes me do word switcheroos. A shoe horse. It's a sea creature that you put on the bottom of a horse.
Aww.
Oh, that's scary. Horseshoe shape.
Yes.
I could do it, but I watched this Forensic Files where the mom was accused of murdering her two little kids who died in a fire. And then finally, because they had arson investigators look at it and they're like, oh, this is an arson. This is where the fire started. They put her in prison. And then an actual fire investigator found out that the insulation there was a leak in the ceiling. The insulation got rinsed of all of its fire retardant coating.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed the wiring and it touched these wires. It's exactly what I have. Just these aluminum wires with fabric insulation that have crumbled off.
That are from 1925.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why my oven turns off. I'll bake something for 10 minutes. The whole oven turns off. The wiring is just like,
Yeah.
So maybe it would be a fire hazard for me to shoot a bunch of stuffing up into my shoehorns.
Also, it's because of the quarantine, the pandemic, I bet you the people that own that building, the last thing they're worried about is getting some nice insulation for one guy, because they're probably like, do we have to leave town? Because no one's going to be able to pay rent or whatever.
Right. Who knows if the other tenants are even paying, because I don't think they have to.
I hope not. You mean for your insulation or rent?
For rent in general. Like, they're probably seeing less income as is, so they're not about to splurge on my ass.
No. Yeah.
Although, about this time last year, they did have some men come in and look at the place, like, appraising. I think it was for wiring and insulation. And I'm like, amen. But never happened.
Maybe never let's happened. Get you down off that chin-up bar, and let's get you doing some low squats and things that get you closer to the cold, cold ground. What about that for your workouts?
It sounds like you're making a joke, but that's exactly what I've been doing. A lot of sit-ups, push-ups, and then kettlebell tiny squats, which, you know, I can do all that under 4 feet.
Yes, that's right. I would like to brag right now, but it's not the coolest thing to talk about. But my pool man came yesterday. I mean, this is only for the 1% that listens to our podcast.
Is he a pool man or a pool boy?
Well, he referred to himself as a pool man, but I, in my mind, call him the pool boy because he's young and cute. And I think
is he really?
Oh yeah, he's great. And he has when I bought the house, the pool man who was here before was a guy that clearly has done it like all his life and has a business. And then 3 months ago, he came to me and said, I'm retiring. And so this guy's taking over. And I was like, sounds great. So he.
And then Whitmer Thomas came over.
Literally, he's a surfer and he has these cool tattoos and he's like super nice. So the first time it was his.
And you just have windows to look at him. Do you look at him?
Oh, yeah. Also, I thought you were going to say, like, to do, like, shows for him. Like, oh, I didn't realize I was wearing my classiest lingerie. But I will say that the first time it was him by himself was the first week of the quarantine. And it was when it was very mysterious and like very, very scary. And so I had all that liquor left over from my Christmas party. So halfway through him being done with the job, I just went out with a handle of Jack Daniels and was like, hey, do you drink? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, take this because I don't drink. And this is, I have all this stuff left in my house from a party. And he's like,
I know it wasn't your goal or anything to get him drunk, but I think that was a good idea. Okay, well, go on.
I mean, here's the thing. I didn't think about that until I was walking away. So I put it down on like that table out there. I was like, have fun and just relax. And we're all stressed. So take some stress out, whatever. And he's thanks so much, Karen. And then as I'm walking in the house, I'm got it like almost like the camera of life turned around and showed me myself where I'm like, oh my God, what a disgusting cougar I am. Where I'm like, hey, Junior, hey, you want a drink? Like, I was like, oh my God, get in the house and shut the door as soon as you can. I was
I'm the cool mom from high school. You kids want me to buy some more beer?
Yeah. Hey, I know you're just a pool man, but do you want to come? There's some stuff in my back bathroom I want you to see. Like, it felt bad.
Your delivery did not suggest that. I bet you're like, hey, the world's ending. Do you want some whiskey?
Yeah.
That's not a sultry.
But I will. But can I do
seductress?
It?
Seductress.
What about me is. But then last week when he came, this week when he came, sorry, I caught Frank out of the corner of my eye and his tail was wagging where I'm like, do you like that story? What's happening? But he came this week. And as he was walking up the steps, I ran out basically because I was like, can you please turn my pool heater on finally so I can start swimming again? And, but I went out to talk to him and he was coming up the steps, taking his AirPods out of his ears. And he goes, hey, I was just listening to you on Spotify. I have a really good voice. And then I was like, what? It was so hilarious and cute. Like, he's just a lovely, you know, that surfer vibe of like, hey, man, everything's chill all the time. It's my favorite personality type. And it's this guy 100%.
I mean, it's the personality type I wanted when I was a nervous over-anxious Montana kid that knew I was born in California. I'm like, one day I'm going to be a blonde, straight-haired surfer pool boy, and it just never happened. I don't have the right personality for it.
It's not
us. It's mainly a personality thing.
It is. Well, it is that kind of thing where, and it is skateboarders too. I mean, I'm sure you know tons of people like that, but it's that thing where, like, when someone's yelling, I saw a teenage boy do this once when I was also a very anxious, angry, kind of high, just like, all of the world baffled me, kind of, and it created so much tension where it's just like, what the fuck is going on all the time? And this skateboarder, somebody like tried to start yelling at him, and he was like, dude, I know, man. And I was just like, how do you do that? How do you agree with the person attacking you? And like,
oh, it's the best.
And make it go
away.
He was
so ahead of his time.
Yes.
I keep telling myself I'm going to start doing that rather than fighting back. Just go, oh, I know. Yeah. I can be the worst.
You yes
but
and
not
it.
Not super sarcastic, just agree fully, earnestly.
Right. But that's
and
not...
And you're like, yeah, I know. I did it the other day. There's a new skate... I've been skateboarding with other 40-year-old friends. We keep our distance.
Please say
you did. And it's been really fun.
And masking.
But what's that?
And you wear your mask.
I do. Until it gets hot and sweaty. I think a lot of people, just as a side note, are realizing they have bad breath. And it is a bit of a wake-up call to have it bouncing up your nose.
That's right.
So I think with these mask purchases and people making them for us, the flossing and getting special breath and gum health watch, because I've gotten better. I've been really getting after my...
You're flossing?
Talking about flossing is gross. But anyway, everyone do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're skating, but we were next to a tennis court, which is the quietest sport ever. And a lady was like, oh, are you guys going to be doing that? And I'm like, I know it's loud. Tennis is so quiet and skateboarding is loud. And she's like, oh, no, I love it. I love the sound of it. And I was hoping you'd stay.
Oh.
And I didn't even know. I've never heard... It was such a reversal because I was like, I know we're skateboarding and it's loud, clickety clack. Isn't that a bummer? And she's like, no, I miss my son. Or I don't know what her, reason for aesthetically, while she played tennis, she said she enjoyed, because there's always skateboarders there by the
right.
by the tennis courts there in Pasadena. So
was she also cougar
really
age? Do you think she might have been cougaring you? We're everywhere, you know. We're everywhere.
A handle of old turkey, wild fashion, old turkey.
Wild fashion. What if I put that handle down in front of him and I was like, do three shots right now? Like, everything about that move, which was not in my mind a move, I was like, the world is ending. Do you want something to help you numb it out? Like, that was, and then as I walked away, I was like, gross.
Well, you're not, I mean, it's funny because I drink, you know that. And sometimes I'm like, why am I out of boredom going down to this bar at the bottom of my street? Because it's fun and there's social interaction and
yeah.
and there's I'll run into people there. Now that that's not on the table, it's weird because I've noticed a lot of people on Instagram or whatever have been drinking through this thing because
yeah.
it's scary.
Yep.
And they're bored.
Yes.
And
there's no repercussions. Like, you can get shit-faced in your house and you might trip and fall, but like no one will see you, you know?
Yeah. And the next day you don't have to wake up for anything. But then oddly, I've been more sober and healthy than not healthy necessarily, but not drinking this whole time. Unless there's a Zoom party or show where everyone has to be on and I can't summon it because I haven't been practicing with any kind of interaction.
Yes.
I have to like get drunk to do comedy into my computer.
Well, but that makes sense. I do not know how people are doing Zoom comedy shows. I so respect it. I so admire that kind of like dedication. But the idea that like you can't hear anybody laughing. There's no audience audio, right?
I did one the other night, the Blind Barber show, like
yeah.
Dave.
Oh, Wade, Andy Peters show.
And he was so fun to watch host.
He's
but
so
they
fucking funny.
Just kind of monitored. Sometimes people would get bombarded, but everyone was in the room or whatever. Like the entire audience, which was 200 plus people, were in there and just hopefully had their mics off, but then all of a sudden, once someone would get on, their kids are yelling and there's a dog barking, and we would all just laugh because some guy with a microphone and loud children all of a sudden logged on as an audience member.
Wait, sorry, because I've not seen one of these shows. I just see the retweets or whatever about it.
It's just what we're doing.
But there's not people. You can't see the people, can you?
If you scroll over.
No! Yeah. Really?
I know. I haven't done a lot of them that way, and I wouldn't suggest it for anyone doing any Zoom comedy shows. But at least you could hear laughter from, like,
that's good.
Would tell a joke, and 15 people were laughing because they were also in on the call. And there's other ways to do it using this timing-wise, and then they broadcast it using Twitch or something, and then you can see comments and donations. I mean, I got $150 that night doing a show. I don't get that kind of money doing stand up in front of humans where I have to drive.
I know.
So I'm kind of, and as awkward as it was in the beginning, I'm kind of getting used to it now.
Yeah.
Just like John Oliver is getting used to doing a monologue and. You know how I always compare myself to John Oliver.
You're so...
I'm just saying...
You're the British John Oliver. That's what I always say.
I've always said that before he even had a show. But I... You have to just get used to the silence. David Spade is really good at it when he does his monologues. He just milks that awkwardness with some side comments.
Yeah.
And I like that more than with an audience. I've been enjoying... a quiet, no audience SNL. I've never watched Saturday Night Live, not for 10 years. And I've been watching it now because I like the new Zoom version.
Well, it shows how creative. Yeah, it's so creative. Like I watch, because I just watch the clips people retweet. It's almost like I let Twitter cull the best ones and then retweet them. And then I watch those.
It's a good way to do it. Yeah.
Right. But the what's up with that? That from home, where kept cutting to Fred Armisen with the very small saxophone. I mean,
the green screen Adidas tracksuit. I think that was Chris Parnell or whoever.
Jason. What's his name?
Yes, Sudeikis.
That's right.
I've never really loved that sketch, and that was the first time I loved it.
It was so funny. Also, DJ Khaled was really funny. The way he was like just sitting and waiting and irritated from home.
It made me. Really, I've been looking for a reason to like this guy. I don't know anything about him. To me, he's like Pitbull, but a DJ. And I'm not that. You know, I'm not a big DJ guy.
Wait, what?
But I immediately liked him because of the way he was playing it.
Yeah, he played it. He is a natural actor, and Charles Barkley clearly is not. Although,
oh my God, Barkley really stuck it up.
Barkley is used to more of a. His performance was circus level, where he was like, the eye rolls were so huge. Where it was like, are you playing to 1,000 people right now? Because you realize you're right next to your own camera. It was hilarious.
Yeah, suddenly he was in the bright lights of a high school production.
Yes. It reminds me of when they used to make Kareem Abdul-Jabbar do stuff on like variety shows, and he was nightmarishly terrible because I think he was a very intelligent person who had probably no interest in like doing comedy bits with Bob Hope or whatever shit they would make him do. And he was just as flat and kind of wild-eyed, like, oh shit, what's happening right now?
And used judging to make me by nervous. Sitting near him, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, on an airplane, which was nice because he was in Airplane, the movie. he is kind of a grump. It was sweet seeing him, and he is 8 feet tall still. He's a human specimen, but he was sitting in coach. We were all going to that Johnny Carson festival in like North Folk, Illinois, or I forget, Nebraska.
We were all.
And everyone was trying to talk to him, and he was like, no. He was just saying no to people.
I love it.
And so even back then, he's not going to cross his eyes and be silly for Bob Hope.
No.
Maybe he knew about how that guy would buy neighborhoods from... What was your story? He bought entire neighborhoods because Vietnamese people were living in them?
He during World War II, they interned all these Japanese people because they suddenly, even though they were Americans, Japanese Americans, a bunch of Japanese Americans got interned because just in case they were going to like turn coat for Japan. And so they were literally sent to prisons, prison camps. And then Bob Hope went in and bought up all their, all the land they owned in like all the, they owned a bunch of like citrus orchards down here. And that's why Bob Hope, like Bob Hope started Toluca Lake essentially, but it's like just swaths of land that he went in. It's like, oh yeah, those guys are arrested, so now this is mine.
I didn't know they were also
that's
arrested,
alleged.
Detained.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, it was, God. They were detained because of World War II.
That's insane.
It's fucked. Oh. It's entirely
fucked.
He was
making it great back then, huh?
I mean,
you know the way I mean it. Hopefully our listeners do too.
You know what makes me laugh? And I love Andy Peters so much, and he asked me to do that same show, and he was like, please do it. Chris is doing it. I love when people say that to me, like, if like, oh, well then I'll do it. Oh, that means I now have 15 minutes of comedy to perform. It's like,
it depends on what it is, because when someone asks if you will do a show, when they're asking me, I'm like, don't put me in that position. Of course I'm not. Basically, it has to be the other way around, I'm realizing. But someone asked me to do, are we doing some voiceover thing
yes,
that I'm excited
yes,
about?
Yes.
See, that'll be fun.
Yes, that'll be really fun.
Because a situation like that, you and I are so used to talking to each other. That's what I've always thought, speaking of Saturday Night Live. Why wouldn't they just hire a sketch group that was already great together and have that be the cast? Why are they always picking from different groups and go with a group that actually performs well together? I've always
wondered. You're acting like
that.
You've never been to UCB and watched Rotten Sketch, where you're like, four of these six people should never be on a stage again.
Right.
But two and are, you know, Kristen Wiig level.
Right. But I've seen groups where clearly, whether or not they're all super talented, they are so good at working together that it works.
Yes.
They know each other's strong suits. They know,
you know, it's like
the Birthday Boys or whoever, you know, there's a bunch of groups.
Groundlings
like
are like that because they work, they have to work together for so long that by the time they're doing main stage shows at the Groundlings, it's, I went to a Groundlings show one time, my friend Joe was in it and he was so good. Fortune Feimster was also in his group. It was such a good group and their sketches were totally hilarious. The characters were amazing. And actually, Kristen Wiig was at the show I was at. They were there kind of scouting. For Saturday Night Live.
But this was like less than 10 years ago then?
Yes. I would say, yeah. Ooh, we might get some dog barks because someone's walking. Oh, no, they're both asleep.
We're going to hear a conference call in a minute. I hear her logging on. Our walls are thin.
I can't hear anything.
Okay, good. Microphone.
Oh, that's right. Technology. But anyway, it was just so impressive because I think my friend Jordan Black was the director of that particular group of people, but clearly they have it down and have been doing it for so long, like Second City or whatever, where it's like they make the people work together. They group them particularly for their all their different qualities and stuff. I mean, good sketch is amazing when it's good.
I love it. Because there's so much bad sketch, and especially improv, when you see it and it's good, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because I was involved with bad improv for, you know, I was caused it so many times that I really appreciate it when it's good. So then my point is, why just hire one of those people when you see a group? I don't know.
Well, let's ask him. Lorne Michaels, you're in the show right now. Get
on
here.
No, he's in the room?
Yeah.
Why do you always have him over?
I want you. I want
That's
you to have a nice
surprise. That's the
weirdest
way to find out he's your pool boy. Just drunk.
You're like,
we're all on hiatus, baby.
Karen, you said That's he was young. Fine. What do you... What? You're not making passes with this
good.
Old Canadian, are you?
Just a Canadian in a Speedo. And it's Lorne Michaels.
Ooh, very good. I don't know, that's not even
I wondered if your old house, which was a normal house, had a normal pool, and it was cool that you had it, but I wouldn't get in it all the time. If I had access to the cool looking pool you have now, I guess because the water goes all the way to the
lip
edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Is that infinity or whatever?
No, I mean, no, it still has a lip like an old fashioned pool, but it's just a beautifully designed, like the guys that lived here before me had the best taste. And so they just did everything exactly perfectly. But that, I think it's that, like I actually didn't swim in that, in my pool. So just so the bragging doesn't seem like it's so out of control, like, the second,
I don't think it is.
The second I had more
people
than...
People have pools.
People have pools above ground, below. But the second I had more than like $80 in my bank account, I was like, I need a pool. Like the second I had enough money to buy a house, even though the neighborhood I was looking in, my cousin's my real estate agent, Pete Castro. If you need, if anyone in the Southland needs a real estate agent, he's the best. But he was like, Karen, it's really hard to find a house with a pool in this area. And I'm like, I know, but I have to have it. Like it was like a passion of mine as a child. It was my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I on the World's Most Extraordinary Homes, our favorite show,
our very favorite show.
There was a pool. It was just a one lane that went around a house like a moat. And imagine that, just waking up and swimming laps in a, and it wouldn't be hard to make. It's just a trough around your house. I want that so bad.
Wait, like, was that the one where it went, the lane of the pool kind of jutted out into a courtyard, but it was like a long, like a capital I of a pool?
Yes.
Remember that one?
And it was up in the air.
Yes.
That's the pool I'm talking about is on another show.
Oh.
I'm watching multiple house shows. I think I'm into houses.
Yeah, I
don't know.
Clearly, because you can build and you are, obviously, interior design is a passion of yours.
I didn't know.
Insulation is a huge passion of yours.
On Tuesday, I'm doing a tour of my house for a video podcast thing. I'm very excited. I'm going to get flowers and stuff. It's kind of like Cribs or whatever.
What podcast is that? What? It's Cribs as a podcast.
Someone asked me. I haven't looked much into it, but when she said, do you want to do this? I said, yes, I actually do. It'll give me a reason to make my place nice and clean. And then I've been getting the same link to this dollhouse that everyone's been sending me that you can, and I measured it. It'll fit perfectly on my bookshelf.
Oh,
and
no.
It's got a library in it, kind of like the one someone made for My Favorite Murder, that diorama you guys got.
Yeah.
It's a smaller scale. But it lights up. It has little lights in it. Mm-hmm. And it's super tiny, like little beds and little furniture made of wood. You put it all together and sand it and paint it. And it comes together as a giant kit. But it's got glass windows. It looks like a glass house. And I'm going to put it right by my books. Oh, I'm so excited. I finally am getting a dollhouse here.
I know. I was going to say, I love like the idea that first of all, you're explaining dollhouses to me where it's like, yeah, this is, as a girl, I know about this. But do you,
I know when I say a bed or a couch, you're thinking of one in your house. But Karen, this is a dollhouse. It's a 1/16th scale or 1/32nd.
But how do you get a bed into that?
You're not understanding me. It's a toy for dolls, Karen.
It's a shoe for horses.
It's a tiny, it's a tiny shoe horse.
Do you know that when I was, I think like 7 or 6, maybe, my sister, around that year, my dad and my Uncle Steve built us a dollhouse made of all the materials our house was built out of. So it was painted the color. The outside of the house was painted our blue of our house.
Wow.
And then, because my parents had just redone the kitchen, so the linoleum from our kitchen in our house was in the dollhouse's kitchen.
The dollhouse was built to the same dimensions?
Well, no, it was just a dollhouse, but I'm the things,
repurposed
pieces of carpet from our house in the dollhouse.
That's awesome.
Linoleum in the dollhouse, painted the same color our house. It was really cool. It was a great present.
I'm excited because I already have miniature stuff. I have a candelabra. I have these little bottles. I have a mic stand. People have been bringing things to shows, and I'm like, what do I do with these miniatures? And now I'll have a little...
It's so good.
House. It's so funny how I'm so excited.
Have you ever watched the I think it's an Instagram series or whatever, The Tiny Chef?
Oh, yes.
He kind of talks in babble, but it kind of makes sense a little bit. And he's tiny, and he lives in the stump of a tree. You have to watch it.
I've seen a lot of miniature food being made and animated, like stop motion. There's a woman that does it with wool, like...
Yes.
It's like spinning wool is the boiling water and it's all stop motion. But I don't know that I've seen the guy in the tree. He's a Keebler then?
No, it's just a little guy that woman made and made this whole world. And it started on Instagram and it was just kind of little, it was a tiny chef making a tiny thing. But then it started become like people started talking to, you know, like it started getting really popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to watch it. My niece Nora loves it so much and my sister is obsessed with it. And apparently Georgia knew them because they were fans, like the woman who makes it is a fan of My Favorite Murder. And so when my sister and Nora visited, I think it was about a year ago, Georgia reached out for me and we got to tour their studio where they make it and everything. You would go insane because it's a whole studio of everything miniaturized, like everything tiny chef size, and them being doing stop motion video around this little felt doll and all the little things he does. It's so good.
It is. There's something about that. It hypnotically for me, like Wallace and Gromit when I was a kid and realized that the little brick alleyways and cobblestone streets are just tiny sets.
Yeah.
And I already like claymation and animation already. And I didn't realize that's where it comes from. I'm not like into dolls, everyone. I was out there catching frogs and playing with a slingshot, just like all the other good
Snips
American boys.
And snails and puppy dogs.
My sister handed me a doll once to play with it, and I popped its head off. That's how masculine I was. But the houses, don't get me started. I want to play in them. I want to shrink down. I want to put a mouse in them. I want to watch. Oh my God, that's what I was going to talk about. Not to change. I know that was all fun. I saw a dead rat. I don't know how the rat died. It was in the middle of a sidewalk. Then another rat was making a ruckus.
No.
And he came out and he was dragging his dead buddy into the bushes from the street.
Screaming.
And I'm
screaming
like, why
medic?
Is he doing that? What's that?
I said, screaming medic.
Yeah, or to give him a proper burial. I think he knew he was dead. He's like, no one's going to lay in the street. But then I looked online. They eat each other.
No.
It's like rats will eat other rats, not so that, you know, vultures don't show up. On a primal level, not...
So it's like
safer. They
didn't
know they'd end up in a city, I guess.
Right.
They think a vulture's coming no matter what. So they're like, time to eat my buddy. I don't usually eat fellow rats, but...
But they do.
I have to go get him and get rid of the body.
Wow.
Which is, to me, a very high-functioning, badass decision. Disgusting as it may be, and ruins the fun we were just having with dollhouses. But that blows my mind.
That is kind of amazing. And you're right. It's like, it's self-sacrifice because how upsetting. You're already witnessing your dead friend and you're like, and now for the good of the group, I have to eat him. That sucks.
I could hear him whimpering. I could hear there was disdain in his voice, or, you know, hesitance.
Self-loathing.
He's like, gotta do this.
I have to do it for the good.
I didn't watch him eat it.
Good.
I didn't watch it like some rat on bath salts. I just Googled and apparently they got to get rid of the body.
That's awful and very pandemic-y. I had I opened the back door and have you ever seen a Jerusalem cricket? I think some people call them potato bugs, but they're just humongous, fat-bodied, thin-legged. Steven,
both sound like racial
Yes, they
slurs.
Both sound very questionable.
I don't think I have heard of them.
Have you, Stephen?
They're just huge crickets.
Yes, but not. You know, crickets are kind of sleek and slender, and you know, look like they could fly away. These things
they
look
have a
like,
little top hat and cane.
Yeah, and they sing, and of course, they're wearing tuxedo pants. But the Jerusalem crickets look like you. It would be the worst thing to step on with a barefoot.
Yeah.
Can you do it, Steven?
You have one, Steven?
Yeah, let me get rid of the background for a second. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, the background sometimes. Oh, wow.
Look
oh,
at it.
Wow.
Look at that.
I don't think I like them. That's like got the ass of a June bug.
It's horrifying. Yes. It's like, it looks like it's tarantula. It looks almost like a clear tarantula.
But they're tiny, so it's not too...
No, no, no. This one was like, they're big. This one was like, I would say as big as my pinky.
No.
And that's not small. It was fucking sitting. I opened the door so George could go out in the morning, and it was right on the track of the sliding glass door, like it was sitting there waiting to come in. And then I was like, George, Frank, eat that. Like I was trying to point to it. George walked away from it, and then it started hauling ass into the house. Ooh, look how big that is.
Oh, I don't need that. I don't need a hand size.
That was on my doorstep.
I need it sanitized.
I had to take my El Decor and flick that thing out of the house because it ran inside. It was, well, if you want to be
okay,
gross.
Okay, what's an El Decor? I don't know what that
oh,
is.
Oh, the magazine. You know the magazine El?
Oh, El Decor for home decor.
Home
decor.
You should have
like
it. Yes.
Yeah, I should be reading.
You know what?
Why do I have all these regular L's?
You
it's
don't.
Just swimwear and I assume pages and pages of L. McPherson. When I could be looking at beautiful couches.
Oh, the decor. We're going to get you. Wait, when is your birthday in June?
February. February 5th.
Did I say happy birthday to you?
I don't. No one did. We're in the
Chris,
middle of a pandemic.
No.
Oh,
Stephen, this is why. This morning we had a staff meeting. And I was like, can we please put every single person's birthday in a calendar? Because
I
can't.
Yeah, my sister does that for me. She makes calendars. It's a way to give me photos of my nieces and nephew, but it's also a reminder, like at least text or call on their birthdays.
Yes, for
and
sure.
I still, because I don't look, who looks at a paper calendar?
Yeah,
or who goes into their home office? I don't.
Or who cares about other people's birthday? Not me.
I'm bad at that. I'm bad at names. I've been watching, because I watched all the stuff that I Google that's good. I'm out of that, so I'm rewatching like True Detective and everything.
Ooh, yeah.
I could start reading books, but maybe they'll seem more enticing once there's a dollhouse over there. But the first season of True Detective is so good and shows those guys. I mean, I love it so much, but they just, especially in the season after that with Colin McFarrell.
How dare you?
And his eyebrows.
You did that on purpose.
I didn't. He's Irish, Colin McFarrell, but it is better than I remember. But they'll just say a name, like they'll say a name once, and you're supposed to remember everyone by name. And there's 50 characters.
Yeah.
I had to stop the movie and Wikipedia the cast members and see which dead guy they're referring to. But then, even though I did that, as soon as I had my bibliography or my glossary of names, I started to enjoy it more. But I'm so bad with names.
Yeah.
I won't remember your birthday. I won't remember your name. I'm sorry, but I like you. I like your face.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that a word that your parents gave you is going to decide whether or not I care about you. I'm just saying, I don't need to remember your name. I still love you.
You said February 5th, right?
Yeah.
Well,
all right. Looking forward to my gift.
I have an idea. And this goes along with, I think, the thing where it's just like how we're not the skateboarders that can go, hey, yeah, cool, man, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's that thing of you. There's a, I think it's having older sisters where they instill a coolness into you against your will, where it's like, don't do that. Da, 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 where it's like, if someone does that, like I've had people do that to me a ton. Where, like, there was a guy once that was like, yeah, Karen, we've met before. And then I went, where did we meet before? And he was just like, and it was like the story was, it was so long before. And I almost said to him, because we're such good friends, then you know that my mom's been dying. And so I haven't been focusing on the old club we used to hang out at. Like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
But the idea of that, which is to say, you're arguing.
Did you really do that?
No. I just kind of, I felt very bad and bewildered, which I was supposed to. And then later on, I was just like, what the, I've had some stuff go on between 1997 and like when I last saw you. But the idea
More stuff than you, because you're clearly a single child that didn't have an older sister to train you to not be a dick.
No one in your life ever was like, no, be cool. Don't do that. Actually be cool. Because who gives a shit? It's like, if someone doesn't remember you, either you go, oh, we met at blah, 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 and it's no big deal, or it's just no big deal. But any other option that you're feeling is invalid, because clearly the person's already shown you that you're not a priority. So being an asshole isn't going to make you a priority. That's going to take you off the list entirely. Thank you, Steven.
You're upset? Ooh, let me knock you up a few spots.
Yeah, I better call you every Sunday.
You guilted me into it.
Now I like you.
Yeah, I bet you're fun in a relationship.
Yeah, for real. Fuck off.
Yeah, I should get into one with you.
Right now.
Because I can tell it'd be so much fun. Then you kick him in the balls.
Now, Chris, how was Tinder?
Sorry. About that balls thing.
How was?
What?
Yeah, you know I get upset. How was Tinder lately? How's the online dating?
Oh, God, no. I haven't. I was seeing someone for months and it kind of ended, but I haven't gotten back on.
Oh, okay.
There, I haven't been on there for a year almost. So,
because it's kind of it's awful, right?
It would be, yeah. Oh, and it never. It's fruitless. And there was twice a couple years ago where I went and met someone and like, oh, this is friendly, but it's not going to happen. Goodbye, like handshake.
Yeah.
And why do it? Why would anyone do it now? You can't be in the same room as anyone for the foreseeable future.
But people keep, and maybe this is, I'm plucking this out of like randomness, but people, I've heard people talking about it where they're like, I'm talking to somebody on whatever, Tinder or whatever right now, where I'm like, God, that must be frustrating. Because also, it would lead to stranger sexting. Like, that seems very risky.
And now that I've spent this time, whether it's healthy or not, I've been enjoying being alone in all ways. And, you know, they say, use it or lose it. I guess I'm going to lose it. But I've been enjoying this in a weird way.
Sorry.
Not the people dying and everything.
No.
But
not a bad thing.
This has been good for me. I was sad at the beginning of the stay-at-home order. The girl I was seeing who I liked was like, this isn't working. And I understand. It makes sense. We lived in different towns.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. But it adds to the, I'm not going to be in the same room, because I've been following the orders. I'll go on hikes. I've been meeting friends to skateboard. Maybe that's the one way I'm cheating. But other than that, I get food delivered here. I don't want to get this thing.
Right.
So.
Yes.
I've been, and then oddly, I think I've already said this before, I've kind of, it's been reassuring that I've been having fun with myself, and I'm not talking about masturbating.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about masturbating.
Why does everyone think I'm talking about that? I mean, playing with dollhouses!
Oh, I thought playing with dollhouses meant masturbating. My mistake.
Sorry, Steven, was that so loud that we peaked?
I mean, it'll be good for comedy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just breaking it all.
I was going to say really quickly, where I've noticed some people, like if you're in a relationship, I feel like a lot of people right now are like, am I in this or I'm not? And like, if you're under 6 months, I got to imagine it's like, well, we're not going to just move in with each other, or maybe we are.
That's why people bought a bunch of toilet paper. It's like, I got to control this part of my life. And so I understand that
it's the lock it down
mentality.
But at
the beginning of a pandemic, it sucks to all of a sudden be like, oh, okay, I don't even have the option of nothing but being alone.
Yeah, well, or the people that like you're saying, like Steven's saying, Brandy Posey's here. Hold on
one second.
Let's
have her on as a guest.
Hold on, let me text her really quick. Hold on.
What if we had a guest for 10 minutes?
Just hold the microphone out the window.
Oh, wait. I just have to give her some LaCroix. I bought her favorite LaCroix while I was at the store, because when I go to the store, I feel like we're all, it's my last chance.
Is she a pamplemousse lady?
She's key lime, baby. Hold on one second.
Oh, key lime, boring.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right.
Did you give Brandy with Brandy Posey, everyone?
Brandy Posey, sorry. Brandy Posey, but I opened that door and George Marie went right out, ran right out to, and I was like, what? You never do stuff like that. And she ran out to see Brandy. She doesn't like people in masks.
Front door.
Yeah. And then I almost shut the door behind me and then realized I tried the door right at the right before it closed and it was locked. So I had to open it back up. Guys, a lot has happened in the last 30 seconds. And then she goes, I handed her thing of LaCroix and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't hug you. And she goes, I'll hug this instead. Like, what world do we live in?
Yeah.
So sad.
I know. Yeah, so regardless, yeah, I don't know, it's weird that everyone's going through it at the same time, so it's hard to feel bad for yourself. It's like, no one's hugging anyone
no,
but a box
that's
of LaCroix right.
right
now.
That's right, everybody has to hug LaCroix boxes right now.
And the people that have loved ones living with them, that love is being tested more than likely.
It's true.
So it's either you're alone, or you're, for the first time ever, not wanting to be around your kids hiding in a bathroom.
Yeah, well, probably not for the first time ever. But that's what I was going to say, is that the people who, what a strange situation, because for a long time, the longest relationship I would ever have would be 9 months long. And it, like, to be in that situation where you're, it's clearly you are together and exclusive with each other. And then this thing happens where you're like, well, it's a lockdown. So we basically have 5 days to decide, should we move in together for a question mark amount of time, or should we not be together for a question mark amount of time? That's fucked. Like, a bunch of people had to make that call on the fly.
Yeah, when she wanted to first start talking about it, I was upset. But you're right. It totally makes sense. It is I hate shit or get off the pot. That's a saying, but, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or otherwise, long distance mask driving.
Yeah.
There's no flying.
That's the thing, is the other thing too, there was something came up with, like, the network or something the other day, and someone was having a freak out. And I was like, just real quick, everybody, it's a pandemic. No one expects this to be happening in any normal. Right. No one expects normalcy. No one's sitting there tapping their foot. And if they are, that's a person who has very unrealistic expectations about reality.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work. Nothing is familiar anymore.
Or it's just changing. Who knows? I mean, yesterday, and I just saw in Variety that Jordan Morris's Bubble podcast is going to become a feature length animated movie, I think, or series.
Oh, good.
Which is amazing. And just yesterday we did this, but a Zoom read of a script he wrote. It's really funny.
He's so funny.
It's great. He obviously worked really hard on it and the jokes are great, but it was a Zoom recording, so all the actors, it's just like this, but we all read and someone was doing the stage direction of the script, or I guess you'd call it stage direction. And then they're going to record that and pitch it to someone who's alone in the room, not wearing a suit, that isn't wearing a suit, he's wearing sweatpants. And maybe, I don't know how these things are going to get shot, but people are auditioning for commercials via Zoom and then things are getting shot. What if in a year we're just watching Zoom and actors, like, someone was telling me wrestling is still going on.
Yeah.
It's just two guys and there's no one else
audience
in the room. And you can hear their bodies slapping and there's no audience. It's just so bizarre. And soap operas, my dad's been watching one of the soap operas, or he and my stepmom watch one, and they are just doing wrap ups of old storylines, and anything that it's only two people in a room and they're far away from each other.
Really?
So there's no intimate storylines, but they're still shooting soap operas.
Shit.
So, like, how do we do this? One camera, we'll have him behind plexiglass. You two argue from a distance. And then we'll show some old footage of when we were all in Cancun. They're doing like behind the scenes stuff. It's so hilarious to me. But it's like, I guess the expectations for everyone are pretty low. So maybe it's kind of fun to just...
Well, it's kind of...
Yeah, we're doing whatever we want on One Life to Live.
Yeah, soap operas are like, no, this is essential. We have to keep this storyline of this rich family going.
Oh, can you imagine the people that watch that every day, the stay-at-home, like, retired folks or whoever that are attached to those stories? If
Hell
they just
yeah.
ended, they'd probably strangle their poodle.
Well, those are almost no... almost no soap operas had any kind of hitch during the 2008 writer strike. None, they all got around it and basically like figured out the way where they wouldn't be, they figured out the like workaround to cross the picket line. And
they had them all improvised.
They all did it. I'm not sure they're like the producers wrote instead of the writers or something.
Yeah. Cause that would be a workaround.
Yeah. Most of them.
I don't know. You guys, you're mad about the twin brother and you're mad about the broken vase. Riff it.
Talk about it.
Glad I did that, Groundlings.
The broken vase. No, it's just weird. It's weird how, like, my sister and I were talking about this morning. That's all about, because they were talking, we know someone that works for the Giants baseball team, and they were talking about trying to figure out like how could they go back if there was no fans came and watched, but the baseball players could still play, so you could watch it on TV. And they're like, but how would you produce that in the truck? And my sister goes, why would you be in a fucking truck outside? You can be anywhere in the stadium. No one else is there. And then she's like, you know, teachers had to, because all teachers were like warned that this quarantine was happening, and they just had to make up how they were going to do it in like 3 days. And she's like, teachers figured this out right fucking quick. I don't know why these rich guys can't figure it out. And I go, because they never have to figure out anything. So there's people, it's like the truly creative and flexible will be rewarded for going, okay, if it's going to be like this now, then we're going to, like, I watched a guy, did you see that blooper of a news weatherman who was giving the weather from his office in his house, and his dog came in and hit the laptop, and then all the graphics, like, he couldn't show any of the graphics that he had on his, that they were just going to go to, because his big golden retriever came in and like took over the entire office. And it was awesome.
I've seen multiple weathermen with cats or dogs, but I don't think I saw that one.
It was just like, I was watching it going, I love this 100 times more than normal news.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone does, because everyone's just a person. Like, we're all kind of getting into the, like, I don't know. This is such an interesting, when we're not talking about the death, and we're not talking about the fucking systemic racism where so many more brown people are dying than white people. And
I know, I every time I say I'm enjoying this, I want everyone to know that's predominantly what I'm thinking about.
Yes.
And it's hard not to think about that,
but we're trying to find a silver lining in this complete fucking shit show and horror show where the fabric of reality has been ripped. Then at least we can go, hey, the good part is that we were a whole globe of people who were so obsessed with our fucking phones that we didn't give a shit who was in the room with us. And now all of a sudden we're all sitting home going, like, I cannot wait to have a party. I can't wait to fucking have a party. It will be the best party. And that's all. I think about it every day. And it's like, I think about the friends I want to see and have dinner with, and, you know, all the shit I would love to do that I absolutely didn't care about and didn't appreciate before.
Right. Yeah, you just said it perfectly, that the teachers that are that more quickly and creatively thought of ways to teach persevered, or however you said it perfectly. Rewind and hear what Karen said initially, right after baseball.
Let's describe our favorite restaurants to each other.
But I've been getting HelloFresh, and I picked the vegetarian option, and I'm so tired of garbanzo beans that I finally went in and changed it to, because you can just have chicken or whatever. I did it for a while, but no more garbanzo beans.
Yeah.
I've been doing these cooking videos and people seem to like them, but it was just for lack of nothing else to do. And I'm learning to cook. I'm cooking all my meals. I did not know how to cook anything before.
And you're teaching yourself.
And the HelloFresh thing has taught me the basics. And
nice.
Now I really enjoy it. And I think I'm eating healthier than before when I ate out for everything.
I mean, ordered in. I know for a fact I'm getting healthy simply by just eating things that are out of my refrigerator as opposed to.
I mean, the
worst one is drive through because I was such a like. Just anytime I drove by McDonald's, it would be like, don't do it. Fine.
Yeah.
Like it was my solution to everything. And like, just for a month being like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I just know all these things are leaving my system that are like, thank fucking God.
Totally. I'm sleeping better. I'm having dreams. I think a lot of that's from not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I am waking up earlier. Like things are getting better, but it's the least I should do is eat well since I'm not very active. I mean, I try and play with my rubber bands and do my 5 chin-ups, but I'm not. There's only so much exercise. We're all getting about 10 steps a day.
I know. Well, that's why.
From the bed to the kitchen.
That's why I was so excited that the pool, I was in the pool for 15 minutes before we started this. Because I was like, I got to get in there because it's the perfect, it's to me, it isn't exercising and it totally is great cardio. But it doesn't
and
feel
it's
like
the
it.
Only way you can swim. There's no. There's no way I was swimming and I was loving it, but that was one of the first things that closed were gyms and
yeah, that's good.
I'm like, okay, great. What am I going to do? Jump rope? I ordered a jump rope. It's very difficult and I don't like how it feels to have my whole body jiggle.
No,
but I just got to do that.
Yeah, and also
jump rope in my house.
Indoor jump rope. You don't have downstairs neighbors, do you?
No.
Oh, good. That would be
fair. Not in this shoe horse. It's just neighbors on this side and then neighbors on the other. There's a courtyard on each side of my building. I'm just one of the arms on the U shape, if that makes sense.
You're a seahorse arm? Got you.
Yes. it's more of a tuning fork. Imagine that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the shape of the building.
And you're
and
the
I'm
handle?
One of those fork.
Oh, you're the fork.
Yeah, yeah. And no one under me, no one above me. Certainly no insulation, but I can jump rope to my heart's content.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, as long as you have a plan and a jump rope.
Yeah.
You could also do jumping jacks if you need to jump
it's
so
just
much.
So, but maybe in the 50s, I'm not military enough to do jumping jacks. I'm watching videos. I'm doing different things. There's like stuff. There's so many 20-minute, like it's like 20-minute exercise that's going to suck. You have to do 5 chin-ups and push-ups and chin-ups, but it's only 20 minutes of my life. That's something I don't. When I go to the gym, I'm like, oh, what's this do? And then I sit down for a while. I'm not that efficient when I'm there. No one is telling me what to do, so I've been watching YouTube videos, and even that. See, life is just better. I don't need to see people.
Who judge you and your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's more, now it's about everyone's personality these days.
But the minute this gets lifted, please, let's both have parties.
I might have like a week longer.
I'm
going to
hug everyone. I'm going to hug everyone.
The
mailman. I'm just going to hug everybody. It's going to be great.
Hug that pool boy.
You're going to hug the pool boy. Get him drunk first.
Well, hello. Big, long cigarette. Suddenly I have a mole
like
right there.
Menthols and negligee.
So do you swim or do you just clean pools? Or like, ma'am, please step away from me. Please step away from me.
That's a big, long neck.
Hey.
Anything else you got that's long?
Long and made of aluminum? Just kidding. That would be terrible. That would be bad for me. Anyhow.
Wow, we've been going a long time.
I know.
And we had a lot to catch up on.
We really did. And I thought we were like halfway done. And then I looked down and I'm like, oh, we're kind of over.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any news? Anything we should have covered? I guess not.
Yeah, I don't have anything to plug. My special's almost done. We're going to put it on Amazon, and I like it.
I guess I would plug Exactly Right Podcast Network, which is where we are in our home network. And then we just added Bananas, which is a strange news podcast.
Oh, cool.
Kurt Brownler and Scotty Landis. And it's
that's great, funny
and great. And very like, it's just a relaxing listen of silly news stories that are true that you don't get to hear anymore because everything in the news is scary and awful.
Oh, that's great. That fits great on Exactly Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. I like Kurt a lot.
I do too. He's so, both of them are really funny, awesome. Genuinely cool and chill.
I'm going to listen to it.
And Stephen, thank you. Once again, for holding down the engineering fort, as you always course. Do. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Thank you.
Did you notice, Chris, at the beginning, Stephen's background was a car? He made it look like he was
sitting. Yeah, I know.
I did that last time, too. Wait,
did here? You? I didn't see it. Yeah, it almost looks like you're in a car seat.
I'm just hanging out.
Yeah, you look like a little baby.
It gets me in the space. It gets me in the mental headspace. It's like I'm back in the car again.
Yeah, you guys, listen to this, and then... thank you for listening always. We love you. We know there's people who have been with us since before we even had a place to land when we were just out there driving around by ourselves. So the people that have been around for all the years we've been doing this, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. You guys make me cry when you come up to me after comedy shows. So keep it up.
It's lovely.
I cry at everything now.
It's fun.
Yay! You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N.
A-R!
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.